This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar,
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. As narrated in Imam al-Bayhaqi's collection of ahadith, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was one time sitting with some women and they were having a discussion and they were talking. And one woman said, in no uncertain terms, she says, Wallahi, and she swore by Allah, she said, Wallahi la adkhulanna al-jannah qad aslamt. وَمَا سَرَقْتْ وَمَا زَنَيْتْ. So she said to Aisha, by Allah, I will surely enter paradise. I'm a Muslim, I'm a believer, right? I have not stolen, I have not committed fornication, adultery. And then the conversation changed. And that night, that woman had a dream. The woman who made this claim. And someone came to her in the dream and said to her, who are you to impose a decision on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will go to Jannah And remember, she said, by Allah, I will go to Jannah. Perhaps you have been stingy and withheld giving something that actually does not enrich you. Or perhaps you spoke about things that did not concern you. And so when she woke up, she was quite alarmed from this dream. And she immediately went back to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and recounted her dream to her. And Aisha radiallahu anha told her, call all your friends who are with us that day. And she shared with them this incident. Brothers and sisters, this story really highlights to us the essence of what it means to not speak without knowledge, to not speak about things that don't concern you. And in this scenario, she foolishly said that she, by Allah, will surely enter paradise. None of us, no one here, has that knowledge about who's going to paradise and who's not going to paradise. That is Allah's right. In fact, we know from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about two men who had an argument. One person was indulging in some sort of haram, and another person was so angry in their rebuttal and rejection of that sin that they said that Allah will never forgive you. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a time where our mass media, social media, news, etc., it fosters this culture of asking everyone to share their unsolicited opinion in things that they are not qualified to speak on. And if you look in the story of Aisha radiallahu anha with this woman, to speak about something about Allah's right, to speak on behalf of the divine, to speak on behalf of Allah's decisions, is probably one of the worst ways to speak about something that doesn't concern you. This concept of minding your own business is something that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us as one of the greatest virtues that we should all take upon ourselves to learn and practice. As narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ says, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. Abu Hurairah narrates that the Prophet ﷺ says, it is from the goodness of one's Islam, of one's faith, of whatever you want to fill in the blank with, your faith, your spirituality, your religion, all of that. To do what? To leave what doesn't concern you. And the Quran also talks about this concept of minding one's own business, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the characteristics of the believers. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers are successful. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are tranquil and they are focused and they have khushu' in their salah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. The second thing after taking care of their salah is to abandon idle speech. And Imam al-Bayhaqi gave a tafsir of this verse, an explanation of this verse, and he said, it is this lagu, this to abandon idle speech. From it is to not speak on things that don't concern you. So why is it, brothers and sisters, that the Prophet ﷺ said, it is from the goodness of your Islam to leave what doesn't concern you? Why did the Prophet ﷺ say that? It is because when you focus on what is important and what benefits you, that is a reflection of your knowledge of where your priorities lie. And so conversely, for someone to waste themselves in things that do not concern them is a negative way, a negative reflection of their own religion, of their own spirituality and their faith. Why is that? Because the Prophet ﷺ tells us in another hadith, as narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, in which he says, إِذَا أَحْسَنَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِسْلَامًا. If one person was to show the goodness of their Islam, how does it manifest? فَكُلُّ حَسَنَةٍ يَعْمَلُهَا تُكْتَبْ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. Every good deed that they do is multiplied by 10 times until it reaches 700 times. وَكُلُّ سَيِّئَةٍ يَعْمَلُهَا تُكْتَبْ بِمِثْلِهَا. And person who does one bad deed, it's written as one bad deed. So the time that a person spends to go think about things that are useless, wasting their time, indulging in topics that don't concern them, they could have used it, as the Prophet ﷺ says here, to better themselves. Also, brothers and sisters, when we indulge in things that don't concern us, it leads to a lot of other sins, potential sins, to backbite, to gossip, to spy, to look, to ask about things and come to prejudgments that you have and conclusions about certain people. Why? Because you are focused on proving that you are right and justifying why you are being nosy. Brothers and sisters, there are a few reasons as to why we are like this, why some of us sometimes can't help ourselves. And that is because we live in a society in the Western Hemisphere where our society promotes this absolute rule of freedom, of happiness, pursuit of happiness and liberty, and to do whatever you want to do. And so as a result, sometimes we hold back from calling out what should be called out because we are constantly told to mind your own business. And on the flip side, sometimes we overshare because of the way of how we were brought up through our parents or elders or sometimes, where your integrity and honesty and virtue is being questioned. So as a result, they feel entitled to ask you about everything about your business. Because what do they say? Well, if you have nothing to hide, then why don't you tell me? See the emotional manipulation? Why did you leave at this hour? Which car did you drive? Why did you order this? Why did you come in from this side door? Things that do not concern. Brothers and sisters, so what are the parameters? What are the parameters of what concerns us and what does not concern us? The scholars have said the first parameter is know what you are supposed to do for yourself. Know what your obligations are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is haram, what is halal, what is wajib, what is obligatory, what is disliked. Even in the things that are halal for you, if you are wasting too much time in it and indulging yourself in it, it could become a problem. Additionally, brothers and sisters, another parameter that we should consider is the only time someone else's business is your business is when something is blatantly haram and that is being committed in front of you and you are in a position of authority to change that. So let's say you are in your house and something is being done that is haram. Yes, it becomes your business. Someone is assaulting someone outside. It's not time for you to turn away and be like, "Oh, ما دخلني أنا. It's not my business." No. You see something that is wrong, that is blatantly wrong, you must stand up and speak out. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. Brothers and sisters, social media does not help us when it comes to learning to mind our own business, because our society has taught us that overshare, that knowledge is power. So we tend to overshare. Look at all the reality TV shows, the garbage TV shows that are out there. People knowing the stats of which quarterback through how many touchdowns within the first 5 minutes of a game in this division. How does that benefit you? Okay, you know that stat, and then? But more importantly, brothers and sisters, just for the sake of knowing is not always okay. When the Prophet ﷺ told them, verily Allah has written upon you the obligation of what? To perform Hajj. It was understood from the context that it is only required once. But one man among the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ stood up and said, but Messenger of Allah, every single year? You could say, oh, he's just asking. No, it was a useless question. And the Prophet ﷺ, in fact, he became angry and he said, if I had said yes, you would not have been able to fulfill that. Other areas where we can practice the art of minding our own business is to remember, do we like it if people come and ask about our business? People like to ask, you know, oh, is this person married? How many kids do they have? What are their names? Why is that important to you? Oh, is that person married? Why, do you have a sister you like to marry that brother to? Or someone dies. How did they die? How is that your business how they died? Someone passed away, your obligation is to do what? Make dua for them. Ask Allah to grant them paradise. Knowing how exactly they died and at what time, and that doesn't benefit you. Brothers and sisters, look at the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. There was a man who came to the Prophet ﷺ, Hakim bin Hizam. This companion of the Prophet ﷺ, he wanted some money. And so he said, Messenger of Allah, I need some money, give it to me, you know, I need some help. So the Prophet ﷺ gave him. And then sometime later, he asked again, and the Prophet ﷺ gave him. And then the third time, he asked, and the Prophet ﷺ gave him, and then the Prophet ﷺ privately advised him. He said, if you, you know, this money is very attractive. Hulwun khadir. Money is like sweet, it's like addicting. It's something very attractive. And so whoever asks with and becomes greedy and asks with outright, there's no barakah in their money. But whoever asks and has a right, then that money will be blessed. And so Hakim bin Hizam, radiallahu anh, he said after that, he made a vow to himself, he said, I will never ask for what I do not need. And so during the time of Abu Bakr and the time of Umar radiallahu anh, they would offer to him, here is from the money that came from wars and spoils, you get a small share. And he would say, no. But what is the importance of this hadith here? And that is when the Prophet ﷺ gave him money when he needed it, did he ask him, what are you going to do with your money? Did he ask him, what caused you to do this? What financial decisions have you made that caused you to be destitute and poor? No. And if you think about how shaitan tricks us into us justifying our stinginess sometimes to people who need money, is we think the worst of them. Huh? If we give them money, then maybe they might go do drugs. Seriously? If I give him $2, he might go buy cocaine. Bro, cocaine doesn't cost $2. If I give him $2, he might go buy khamr. That's none of your business. You give it for the sake of Allah. What he does with what comes to them or what she gets, that's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us guidance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to focus on what is important. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, to hide our faults, and to cover our sins. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. وأقم الصلاة.